ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मीतयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तं देवम् आत्मबुद्धिप्रकाशं मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये। वि आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् दि वेरि फस्ट् वर्स् इन् दि दक्षिणामूर्तिस्तोत्रम्। विश्वं दर्पण दृश्यमाननगरी तुल्यं निजान्तर्गतं पश्यन् आत्मनि मायया बहिरिव उद्भूतं यथा निद्रया। यः साक्षात् कुरुते प्रबोधसमये स्वात्मानमेव अद्वयं तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये। टु हिम् हू बै हिस् पवर् आफ् माया सीस् इन् हिम्सेल्फ् दि होल् यूनिवर्स् इन् सैड् हिम् बट् एस् इफ् इट् वर् औट् सैड् जस्ट् एस् इन् ए ड्रीम् आर् like unto a city that is seen in a mirror. To him who apprehends upon awakening, waking up his own self as the one without a second, to him of the form of the Guru, the ancient of all, the blessed Dakshinamurti, is this prostration. Namaskara. Namaidam Sri Dakshinamurti. To recapitulate what we discussed, Atma is revealed first of all as the adhisthana, as the very support. Atma as one, but what it reflects inside the mind are many. Atma alone remains ever. Atma alone is the truth, satyam. Atma is uncontaminated like space, and Atma is nitya, eternal. What is the essence of this verse? The purport of this verse is to tell us, to explain the second word of the Mahavakya, Tat Tvam Asi. Tat means the one reality called Parabrahma. Tvam indicates Jivatma, the limited self, the microcosm consisting of body plus mind plus reflection of the pure consciousness called Chidabhasam. So, this Mahavakya, which is Tattvamasi, the first one, who are you or who am I? Each soul is potentially divine. I am potentially divine. Why do we use the word potential? Because we are in the spell, under the spell of Maya. The Maya makes us forget that we are the only reality, but makes us think we are many and each one of us is separate, and the world we are experiencing is the truth and it hides the highest truth. So that Brahman is the truth, and this visible universe is only an appearance, an imagination, unreal. Just if Brahman is one without a second, this is multiple. If Brahman is the support, substratum, this is that which is depends upon. If Brahman is alone truth, this is appearance, not truth. Brahman is untouchable, and this world, everything is impure. It is having raga and vesha, and Brahman is nityam, and this world is anityam. Which fact? Even the scripture need not tell. Every day, especially in countries like UK or USA, yesterday how many? More than 1,000 deaths await today. How many deaths are going to come? This is not due to COVID, but that's a natural phenomena. So this first verse wants to tell us that you are not Jivatma, you are Paramatma. There are not many things in this world. There is only one, and you are not dependent. You are that Paramatma as completely independent. You are not contaminated, polluted. You are unpolluted because there is no second to pollute you, and you are the eternal, not temporary passing. So whatever is experienced as temporary, as passing, as dependent, as unreal, that must be given up. There is no such object called the universe, but It is because of ignorance we think there is such an object. There is such an object that is called Brahman. But we mistake the Brahman for the universe and attribute whatever are not the real attributes of Brahman, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. This verse tells us this has to be reversed. So that we must reverse. How does this truth gets conveyed through this first verse? Through two analogies. As if a person is seeing the reflection of a city in a huge mirror. And what is the psychology here? If a person goes on seeing, let me put it this way, when a person comes and sits in front of that mirror, he is aware at the same time there is an outside world and there is a reflection in the mirror. But here is the psychology. Go on looking at the reflection just as we look into the television or cinema screen. Forget the audience, forget this screen and see only nanatva, multiplicity. So this is a curious phenomena. In our mind, we project that what we see is the truth, not what is really on the outside. Similarly, in the dream, there is only one awakened person, waker, jagradavastha. He creates the entire dream world and divides himself into, as I mentioned, three, the witness, the participant, and the entire universe. Through these two analogies, Shankaracharya is conveying to us that what you see is mithya, what you are, that alone is the truth. Now the second point, very important point is, at this moment, we are seeing both through the scripture, of course, that I am also a jivatma, but at the same time, I see myself associated with body, mind, and I see the entire universe. The important question is, what is the relationship? Me as the jivatma, this world which is appearing as separate from me, and Bhagavan who is the creator. This actually is the subject matter of the second verse. But what is the relationship? I, the atma, means I am the body, the mind, and the entire universe. Really, there is no outside universe. There is no inside universe. Whatever exists is only one. But through Maya, in the form of the mind, in the form of Desha and Kala and Nimitta, Desha, Kala and Vaichitri Kritam, like a magician. So that is called mind. Mind is nothing but there is no special object called mind excepting time, space and causation. This is a profound truth that has been so beautifully illustrated or reminded us by Einstein through his special theory of relativity. Are you thinking of time? You are thinking of space and causation. Are you thinking of causation? You are thinking of time and space. Are you thinking of space? You are thinking of time, space and causation. Though I explained, these things need to be repeated again and again. So I am putting it this way. An accident happened. Someone comes and reports it to you. And immediately, three questions arise in your mind. Where did it happen? That means from the space point of view, which point of space this accident happened? When did it happen? From the time point of view, what time it happened? And how did it happen or why did it happen? Then from the causal point of view, causal, causation, what caused the accident? So time, space and causation. Our entire life, life after life, until we attain mukti is through these three means. I was born at such and such a place. I was born at such and such a time. That is why every day we don't count. Every year only we count on birthday. And foolish people go on wishing us happy birthday. They never say you are nearing the chopping block every year. In fact, they must remind us. And that is the purpose of putting what is called three namas on the forehead. Especially Shiva Bhaktas, they are supposed to put, by taking ashes from the funeral pyre three times to remind us, morning, afternoon, midnight, every time we see, look, Shiva alone is the truth, and Shiva resides in the Smashana. Does Shiva reside in the Smashana? He resides everywhere. But he resides specially in Smashana. Why? What does it mean? When you can burn Desha, Kala and Nimitta, time, space and causation. That means the gross body, subtle body and causal body. What remains? Shiva alone remains. Sri Ramakrishna puts it very, very beautifully. When a person thinks as Jiva, Pasha, Baddha, Jiva, Pasha, Mukta, Shiva, same Jiva without three bodies is Jiva. Same Shiva with the three bodies is called Jiva. So, this is what he is telling. I am the Atman. I am the pure consciousness. Now, let us rearrange these sentences properly. Jagrat Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Asti. There is this world which is reflected in our mind just as a city is reflected within a huge mirror. Jagrat Vishwam Nijantargatam Swapna Vishwam Iva Bhati. The same world again is reflecting. When I am dreaming, the whole world is reflecting, but it is within me. Jagrat Vishwam Atmani Pashyati. I, the perceiver, am seeing at the reflection in the mirror. I, the waker, is imagining the entire dream world when I go to dream. Nijantargatam Swapna Vishwam Nidraya. In the, what is called, but the same me, when I go into deep sleep, what is happening to me? So this entire Jagrat world, waking world, dream world, what happens to both? Nidraya Bahihi Udbhutam Iva Asti. That which was appearing, as though it is outside, as though it is dream world, even though I am dreaming within my mind, as if I am inside, the whole world is outside. But what happens? The whole universe, waking universe, dream universe, Nijantargatam, Jagrat Vishwam, Api, Avidyaya, Nidraya, Mayaya, by Avidya. So, when a Jivatma dreams, it is Nidra. When the Paramatma, he enters into this Maya, Mayaya, as if Bahihi Udbhutam, as if the entire universe is outside, and it is absolutely real. That is the, our experience. But then what happens? Yah sakshat kurute prabodha samaye. When as soon as the person sitting in front of the mirror comes away or the mirror is covered, then he sees the truth that this reflection is only a reflection. It has no reality. Similarly, the whole dream world is a reflection when a person wakes up. So, this is called waking up. This is called sakshatkara, direct experience, not through the mirror, not through the mirror of the five sense organs. Prabodha samaye, as soon as he wakes up, what does he perceive? Sva atmanam eva dvayam. There is no universe, there is no three bodies, there are no three bodies, and there is no reflection, there is no imagination. Sva atmanam, I alone exist. And advayam, there is none besides me. There is no mirror, there is no bodies. So therefore, I alone exist. The waker recognizes himself at the time of waking up to be the one, non-dual one. So the person at the time of dawn of knowledge recognizes this fact that I am the pure consciousness, I am the Brahman, there is no world, and the appearance of this world is purely mithya. Now, again, we have to remind ourselves, what is mithya? Partial knowledge of myself. Partial knowledge of myself is called mithya. Have you not heard it before? When I am in the waking state, I project myself as the world through the five sense organs. When I am going into the dream body, into the dream world, I project myself as the created dream world through my imagination. And when I go to Nidra, deep sleep, what do? I enter into the causal world so that the body, mind are withdrawn. I am a witness of what? There is no world, but I am not a realized soul. I am witnessing the root cause of Maya, which is called Avarana Shakti. And so, there also I am bound. How do we know that we are bound? How do we know that in deep sleep we are not awakened? Swami Vivekananda gives the answer. When somebody questioned him, what is the difference between deep sleep and samadhi? He gave a most beautiful answer. When a fool goes to sleep and wakes up, he remains the same fool, in bracket my words, if not a greater fool. For a few moments, we become greater fools. You know how? Supposing you were dreaming, you were in America, even though you are in India, or Belur Mat, even though you are in Bangalore. For a few seconds, you do not know that you are either in Bangalore or Belur Mat. That is even being more foolish, because even if a tiger enters at that time your room, not impossible, but very difficult to imagine, then you don't know what to do. If you are awake, at least you try to cry. But have you noticed, if you want to cry in deep sleep, a bully is chasing you, and then you are unable to walk, you fall down, and then you have to pray, "Oh Lord, thank you for what we are about to receive." When a person is in deep sleep, he is not free. He remains the same fool. But Swami Vivekananda continues, when the same fool enters into samadhi state, he comes out as a realized soul. So we know that every day we are waking up, and I hope we are not becoming even too much foolish. In fact, that is a fact. We are becoming too foolish. I have noticed people, those who are generous when they are young, they become too miserly as they become older and older. They cling to older things, older books, useless medical books that were kept 40 years back. I have seen person, that's why I am talking, old clothes. What is the idea? You know, I want to throw out, but I have a lurking feeling that at some point they will come of use. And that is a great trouble after his death for his people to get rid of all those things. That is why Western people are very, very practical. This is what they call spring cleaning. Remove everything that is not useful. So, when we are under the spell of this Nidra or Maya, two things happen. What is this? This Vishwam, this world, as if it is outside. Second, it alone is the real. And nothing. We don't know about God. We don't know about Chidabhasa. We don't know about pure consciousness. I know that this world is outside and this world is very real. How do I know? Because I am sure most of us are reading the news. When we read the news, our mind becomes highly agitated. Hardly there is any good news either in India or outside India. If it is not real, it won't affect us. But if we think it is real, even if you are thinking it is, after hearing this Dakshinamurti Stotram, it is unreal, but it affects us. Whatever affects us, that conclusively proves that it is real. That's why, you know, Buddha. Why Buddha was called Buddha? There are only two classes of people, wise and otherwise. So there are only two classes of people, Buddhas and Buddhus. Whoever is not awakened, he is a Buddhu. And most of us fall, we should not be ashamed to speak of that. If I use the word we are ignorant people, then it is a palliative. That is, if we call Buddhu, we take it as an insult. But anyway, Swami Vivekananda, he founded one beautiful magazine. Do you know what is the name of it? Prabuddha Bharata. Awakened Bharata, India, like that. Prabuddha means completely awakened person. So, an awakened person, Prabuddha Murti, is the Guru Murti. That means a true Guru is one who is completely awakened from where? From Nidra and from Maya. Then he understands, Aham Kevalam Atmaha, Aham Brahmasmi. Such a person is a Dakshina Murti, because I can create, I can maintain like Ishvara, and I can also destroy. A most meaningful word. What does it mean? ముండక ఉపనిషత్ ఈస్ దిస్ క్లూ. బ్రహ్మ విత్ బ్రహ్మైవ భవతి, ఎనోయర్ బ్రహ్మన్ బికమ్స్ బ్రహ్మన్. వెన్ ఏ పర్సన్ బికమ్స్ బ్రహ్మన్, ఇస్ దేర్ ఎనీథింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ ఫర్ ది బ్రహ్మన్? ఇట్స్ నాట్ ఇంపాసిబుల్. దేర్ ఫోర్ ఇఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ విత్ డివోషన్ అప్రోచెస్ బ్రహ్మన్ అండ్ సేస్ ఐ వాంట్ టు బికమ్ ది రూలర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, హీ విల్ గ్రాంట్ ఇట్. విశ్వామిత్ర was able to create a whole Svargaloka. That is why we call it Vishwamitra Svarga, Trishanku Svarga, we call it. Trishanku was the king for whom he created that universe by his mere sankalpa. Here also I have to tell you something. These things I go on repeating and you must go on listening, because until it becomes completely marked in your mind, the moment I utter the word, the entire meaning must flash in your mind like a big lightning. Until that time you have to go on doing it. What is Svarga? When a person is extremely happy, whatever be the circumstances outside, that is called Svargaloka. When the same person, in spite of being at the best place, at the best time, with the best people, with absolute safety, then such is called Naraka. Again, I am reminding you, that beautiful story, very popular in North India. One day, a great king, after having royal dinner, fell asleep on his royal bed, and then he found his neighboring king declared a war, seized the kingdom, was chasing him, and this person for 3 days he ran. And then somehow, at the end of the third day, he had crossed the border, and then he reached a village. It was midday, and he was ravenously hungry, tired, and then there was somebody distributing food. He joined the queue, and when his turn came to receive, the food was completely over. And the man, out of pity, seeing this person's condition, scooped up some burnt food that was sticking, like Draupadi's one grain of rice sticking to the vessel somewhere. So he scooped up some. It was sufficient, though half burnt, and then gave it to the king. When he was lifting it up and brought near his lips, a big bird came, suddenly kicked that leaf plate, and the whole thing fell on the sand, completely unusable. And when the king was lamenting his bad luck, he awoke suddenly, and it was so great. He started asking, "Kya wo sach hai? Kya ye sach hai? What I am seeing now upon waking up, is this real? And what I saw just a few minutes back, was that real? What is real?" And he would not eat, he would not drink, and people thought he went mad. And after 3 days, a great Mahatma came there, and he was brought, and the king immediately asked the question. So, kya wo sach hai? Kya ye sach hai? What I saw, or what I am seeing now, what is the truth? And this is what we have been discussing. Immediately that great saint, he replied, "O king, neither that wo bhi sach nahi hai, ye bhi sach nahi hai, tum jo dekh rahe ho, tum ekmatra satya hai. Neither the dream was real, nor the waking is real now, but you who are witnessing, participating, both the waking dream as well as the dreamless sleep, only you are the truth alone." That is being mentioned in this first verse of this Dakshinamurti Stotram. So, that God's presence, Brahman's presence, can be felt only through my own Guru, who is present in front of me, and he is a realized soul. He is Ishvara. Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namayidam Sri Dakshinamurtiye. This particular line contains two separate issues. దక్షిణామూర్తి ఇది ఈశ్వర సృష్టి స్థితి లయకారక, దట్ ఈస్ ది క్రియేటర్ ది మెయింటైనర్ సస్టైనర్ అండ్ ది రీసైక్లర్ ఆర్ డిస్ట్రాయర్ అండ్ ది సేమ్ వన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ఫినిట్ కంపాషన్. వై డూ వి సే ఇన్ఫినిట్ కంపాషన్? బికాస్ ఇన్ఫినిటీ కెనాట్ హ్యావ్ ఫైనైట్ కంపాషన్, ఇన్ఫినిటీ కెన్ హ్యావ్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ఫినిట్ కంపాషన్. సో మై సెల్యూటేషన్స్ టు మై గురు హూ ఈజ్ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ దట్ గురు ఆఫ్ ది గురుస్. What does that mean? It means there are no 100 gurus, 1,000 gurus, my guru, your guru, my religion, your religion, my path, your path. No, only one path. What is the path? The truth. And what is the guru? Only God is the guru. What is the knowledge? Only one knowledge. I am that pure consciousness. So, Namaha. Then, salutations. What type of salutations? And this word Namaha. I explained in the previous also that complete surrender, Sampurna Sharanagati is called Namaha. That is why we stand up and fold our hands and then say Namaskara. Namaha. Narayanaya Namaha. But we have to understand it means I am seeing God. If you are seeing God, do you exist? Just ask one question. God is coming. He is standing in front of me. If truly God is standing in front of you, do you exist? It is impossible. But we think because of our ignorance, he is just like an object or just like N.T. Ramarao in the form of Venkateshwara in the cinema. That is not absolutely true. How do we know? Because that N.T. Ramarao in the cinema lasts only for 2 hours. As soon as the projector gets off, N.T. Ramarao vanishes, Venkateshwara Swami vanishes. Oh, who remains? Only I remain. You remain. Appreciating the fact that there is only one reality. There is no individual I apart from that one reality. This is one meaning of Namaha. So, this when a person really understands, I do not exist, only God exists. This was so beautifully expressed in a Sufi story. Many times I quoted, but I will quote this time also. There were two lovers, the lover and the beloved. One day he went to the cottage of his beloved, knocked. From inside came the question, who are you? And the reply was given from outside, I, this is me. And the door remains locked. Then second time, same thing happened. Third time, who are you? This time he said, thou, my beloved. And he found there was no door, much less locking or unlocking. So this is what the highest truth is illustrated through this beautiful parable. There is no other truth excepting me. And me means not this small body-mind complexed ahankara, but the universal. That is what Bhagavan Krishna says, take refuge in me. Sarmadharman parityajya mam. Their mam is not Krishna the body-mind. There he is the Krishna the Ishvara, Srishtikarta. Why do we say Srishtikarta? Why can't we say Nirguna Brahman? Because Nirguna Brahma doesn't say, I am the Srishtikarta, I am the Palanakarta, I am the Samaharakarta. There is no creation, there is no you and me, there is no universe. That is why the only expression through human words is Neti, Neti, nothing else. This is one. What is it? Complete self-surrender is called Namaha. But what type of Namaha? With great humility. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. So this is the meaning of this beautiful verse. The whole universe is nothing but my imagination. Just as I imagine, I am different in my dream world. I am seeing a reflection in a mirror. The only truth that remains, when you get out of the sight of the mirror and when you wake up, I alone am the truth. Now, I also mentioned about CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. What does it mean? Means even from the very ordinary point of view, every day we encounter many things and most of them are not pleasant. How do we cope with that? That's where CBT comes. To practice it, there is a philosophy. This is called faith in God. This is called faith in the scriptures. This is called faith in the law of karma, karma siddhanta. Everything happens because of what? 3 reasons. First reason, everything happens. Well, that is the nature of the world. And even if you don't believe in God, there will be good weather, bad weather, summer and winter season, and rainy season, and autumn season, spring season, many seasons are there. That is the world nature. There will be good people and evil people. There will be happiness, unhappiness. There will be light, there will be darkness. So it is inevitable because dvandva is the nature of the world. If you accept that really, okay, at that time I was happy, now I am not so happy, that's okay. So as I mentioned, There was a real response. In the West, there are many hospices. There will be people, they are declared to be on the way to death, but they cannot be cared for at home, and they will be kept in between hospital and death period. These are called hospices. And there, one journalist went, and then he interviewed many people. Oh, we are so lonely. We are so unhappy. God, why God has made? Many people don't believe God. They said, we are very unhappy. But there were a few people, and they replied, astonished the journalist, reporter, astonished me. They replied, well, we had wonderful time. I got married, and I had a wonderful wife, wonderful children. I had my fling, and now, okay, this is also part of the life. I accept it and put up with it as best as I can. If this is not Vedanta philosophy, I don't know what it is. This attitude falls under the first condition. It is the nature of the world, so I accept it. Better learn to accept it. It helps us. Philosophy always helps us. Second, there are many people who believe in God. So they say, inshallah, God's will. That is very good. Or many Hindus who believe in God in scripture, especially Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, and Sikhism, they believe in past lives. So there is what I am today, happy or unhappy, is entirely the result of my own past karma. It is a truth, of course, but many people may not believe it, but this philosophy definitely helps us. So there was a Greek philosopher, he used to say this world is like a dream. Some young people didn't understand. One day they decided to teach him a lesson. They tied his legs with a rope and were dragging him on cobbled roads, stony roads. He was bleeding. Of course, it was painful. Then he asked, do you still say life is a dream? And he tried to smile and said, yes, I still say it is a dream, a very painful dream. I cannot change any event. I cannot influence anybody. What happens in the external world, including my body, is not under my control. It's a very wonderful thing that we have absolutely no control. Many of us try to change the world. We can never change the world. We can only try to change the world, and we fail most of the time. How do I know? The moment I declare to myself, I believe in God and I have to practice spiritual discipline. If I could bring a change within myself, the next moment I would have been realized so. That even after so many years of initiation, either physical or scriptural, I am still plodding on, unable to overcome even the slightest what is called habit. That is a definite proof that I am unable to change my own self. If I am failing in changing myself, where is the hope of changing anybody else? There was a funny story. There was a fellow who was addicted to smoking. And at one time, he made some feeble effort to get rid of this habit. So he started buying so many books and reading how to quickly quit the habit of smoking and be a great, happy, healthy person. And then he went on buying the books and then reading them. After many months, some of his friends came and said, are you successful? He said, yes, I have given up. They asked him, what have you given up? He said, I have given up reading the books. Another joke also is there. My audience certainly will know about it. So one fellow was addicted to the smoking, and he met another one of his friends. And then he said, see, I am unable to get out of this strong habit. Other fellow said, what? You are talking nonsense. It's easiest thing in this world is to quit smoking. Just look at me. How many times I have given up? I hope you are getting it. How many times I have given up means? Yeah, I have not given up. So I cannot change anything. This was what? But I can change through training, through hard work, how to react. I can only try to bring about a change only in myself. And that is one of the greatest sadhanas. This was what really Holy Mother is indicating to us. Holy Mother's teachings, Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, Guru's teachings, scriptural teachings can be interpreted on many different levels. Psychologically, It's all very true. That's why Swami Yatheswaranandaji Maharaj used to say, every spiritual person must have some basic knowledge of psychology. What is psychology? A right knowledge about our own mind. There is a very beautiful book. I recommend it to everybody. It is, the very title is About Ourselves. About Ourselves. I forget the author's name, but About Ourselves, psychology book. Immediately you will get it, and I assure you, free. You can download it. So here, what was Holy Mother saying? My child, if you want peace of mind, and peace of mind again can be interpreted at two levels. I want peace of mind in this world. I want peace of mind eternally by realizing God. I am talking here about peace of mind in this world. Stop finding fault with others. You notice our mind gets disturbed only when we see defect. Defect in the world means mostly about finding fault with people, not merely events. So this is first. And then start finding your own faults, because there is a curious psychology here. The moment we cognize any fault with others, two things happen. A, that unless we have a fault within ourselves, we cannot cognize the same fault in other people. That is one. B, when I cognize a fault within myself, I cannot be at peace unless I try to improve myself. We try to ignore it by drinking, by smoking, by coffee drinking, by going to sleep, by what Eric Fromm calls escape from freedom. By watching mindless entertainment, etc., it only makes us worse. So if we truly find our own fault, we cannot stand rested until we can get rid of it. So this is called seriously start finding faults. And if somebody can find faults, he will have enough work for life after life, for many lives. Third, this world is none other than you. Particularly this third statement of Holy Mother. What is the world? How we interpret it? And in Advaita Vedanta, there are two particular statements. Srishti-drishti-vada, drishti-srishti-vada. This first verse falls under Srishti-drishti-vada. Srishti-drishti-vada means there is something and I see it. I see it what? Not as it is, but as my colored, filtered mind shows it to me. Not only the mind is a filter, every sense organ of ours is a filter. This is a wonderful subject. I'll just dwell upon it. Supposing there is a curry and everybody likes it, say, curry made up of many different vegetables. Imagine it is cooked by an Indian. Imagine it is cooked by a householder in Andhra Pradesh. It is a curry. And give it to somebody who is not accustomed to eating chilies, immediately he will throw it out. Much less to give to a non-Indian. Non-Indian means not from India, but a Westerner. He cannot even tolerate because he is there. So the first filter is, this is not tasty. And who is telling? Who is telling that this is not tasty? It is my sense organ through the mind is telling. That means I have brought a filter. And then, because the tongue cannot tolerate it, the influence is of the tongue. But in my mind, it may be beautiful food, but it has been given to me by a person whom I hate. Immediately, that filter mind applies. I don't like this person. So whatever is touched or brought about by this person, it is hateful to me. How many filters we are having through and my language, and then the color of my skin, and then the village culture or town culture or city culture, the religion, the state and the nation, all these filters we are all applying. I am not an Indian and I am not a Hindu and I don't come from Indian culture. Terrible conflict not only between ordinary people, between so-called monks and others. I'll give you an example. Suppose there is a person brought up in Orthodox Christianity. In his eyes, God can be realized only if they call him Jesus or God, not otherwise. There are so many Indian religions who do that. These are the filters Holy Mother is talking about. Find out, first of all, your faults. find out the causes of these filters, which is nothing but the motives, and the cause of the motives is these filters. Another word for the causes or motives of why the mind applies these filters is called these motives, or that is what is called causes. Find out the causes. That is called real find fault. If you don't remove the root, the plant will not be destroyed at all. Then the mother is telling, if you make your own mind okay, then the whole world will be absolutely fine. I will give you two examples. Remember, I have given these examples many times in the past, and I will be giving also it, but it is not fault. In scriptures, repetition is the most wonderful thing in the world. Repetition is needed until we realize. Okay, there was a Christian monk. He wanted a solitary place where nothing can disturb him. So he went to most solitary place. He was very happy, absolutely no human being anywhere. And he joyfully sat down to pray to God. And then it was started raining a little bit, and a million frogs started croaking out of joy. And he said, oh my God, in my old place there was only few people, here a million frogs. And he was disturbed. Very sincere person. So he prayed, oh Lord, I want to call upon you. Here also I am disturbed. Where can I pray to you? Immediately God gave him buddhi yogam dadamyaham. He gave buddhi. What is the buddhi? My son, the frogs are also my creation. They are also praying to me only, but in their own language. The moment he understood it, all the frogs are praying, and their prayer instead of human language is called croaking. And if the moment he understood, it is a prayer, not croaking, but it is a prayer. The whole mind has become completely free. He joined them undisturbed, that now a million plus one are praying joyfully to the Divine Lord. Where did the change come? The frogs did not stop croaking, but change had come within the mind. Another one is, it is said that Duryodhana and Yudhishthira both went on a world tour. They came back and there was a meeting. They were asked to tell about their opinions. And then Duryodhana got up and said, I don't want to say anything. The world is so wicked, I never met a good man, and sat down. Yudhishthira got up and he said, I have no words to describe the goodness of the world. Everybody was treating me like his own near and dear relative, and they are what is called falling upon head over heels. Who can serve me the best? I have never met an evil person. Everybody I met is one of the greatest persons in the world. I have no words to describe. And he sat down. Same world, same tour, two different minds, two different interpretations. So we can train our mind to see something good. That's what Holy Mother was telling. Seeing goodness is seeing God. Seeing God in everybody as my own reflection. This is a beautiful example because of this first Vishwam Darpana Darshyamana Nagari Tulyam. So, an awakened person, Prabuddha, what does he see? For that an example is given. Imagine you are in the room and there are 100 mirrors in front of you. And then you see how many reflections? 100. How many of you are there actually? Only one. What does this illustration tell us? That everybody, everything in this world is nothing but a reflection of my pure consciousness. That point I have elaborated at least in 3 classes, that the whole world is in the consciousness, is created in the consciousness, remains existing in the consciousness, and disappears when we are not aware of it. This is called cognizing God, seeing God everywhere. So, Holy Mother says, my child, realize that the whole world is none other than you, Paramatma. That is called realization. Only then can we have eternal peace. And then, Sri Ramakrishna's illustration. Sri Ramakrishna trained Narendra. This is one of the most important episodes of Narendra's life. Swami Vivekananda, there was a question. How did Narendra become Swami Vivekananda? 3 important phases of his life. First, his own understanding of the world and himself through his self-study of both scriptures and science. Second, under the tutelage of Sri Ramakrishna, he transformed the whole concept of Narendranath, and there was one special incident. One day, Sri Ramakrishna was expounding, the mat is God, and the cat is God, the rat is God, everything you see is God. And Hajra, Narendra were there. And Sri Ramakrishna stopped his instruction, and then these two people came out, started laughing uproariously. And Sri Ramakrishna heard their laughter from inside. He came out with his wearing cloth under his arm. You have to imagine how Sri Ramakrishna looks. How does he look? Like the purest child in the world. Look at a baby smiling, a baby of 3 months old. And there will be no brute in this world. All brutes will disappear upon seeing that divine smile of the baby. Sri Ramakrishna came out. And don't imagine, if anybody comes out like that, then you will feel this is a madcap. If you don't beat, then you will close your eyes. But here is a person came out and he touched Narendra. Immediately Narendra's whole vision changed. Whatever he was perceiving, it was nothing but Brahman. And then the Lila Prasanga says, then Narendra understood. Whatever words come out of Sri Ramakrishna's mouth is Paramasatya, because he is the Paramarishi. This is how he trained. He trained through the two stories of elephant and Mahut Narayana. What is it? We all know the parable. The guru taught everything is Narayana. The disciple understood partially. One day he was going, he saw an elephant coming and the Mahut was shouting, it has become mad, get out. But he did not get out and it knocked him unconscious, and the brother disciples carried the disciple. And upon awakening, why did you not run away? He said, our guru taught everything is Narayana. And immediately the guru said, my son, the Mahat also is Narayana. Why did you not listen to his words? Only my words, everything is Narayana. But the body has to be treated separately. Mind also has to be treated separately. This verse is very helpful not only in spiritual life, but in worldly life also. This is what every sadhaka realizes in the end. Yah sakshat kurute prabodha samaye swatmanameva advayam. Such a realized person alone is the real guru. What does this real guru realize? Swatmanam eva. His own self. There is no world. It is me dreaming and creating a dream world. Upon waking up, I am the one waker. Similarly, upon waking up from this, what is called waking world, then I am alone, I am that Brahman, I am Brahmasmi. And Advayam, there is no second, I am the one without a second. Such a person alone is a guru. Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Sri Dakshina Murtaye. That Paramatma is manifesting his grace in the form of this Advaitic knowledge, in the form of my own guru. That same Dakshinamurti, that same Ishvara is now Dakshinamurti. That Dakshinamurti is now manifesting in the form of my own guru. To such a guru, ultimately through my guru, through Dakshinamurti, through Ishvara, through Parabrahma, my salutations to him, my sastanga pranams to him, I completely surrender myself to him so that I am ready to receive what he is graciously going to grant me. So this verse tells, I am the pure, Shuddha, Nitya, Buddha, Muktaha. I am Paramatman. My nature is pure consciousness. And the same point it discussed in the second verse. From a different end, we will deal with it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayosritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.